Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus Christ breaks every chain. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. You know, Paul was talking to us in Romans about how Jesus Christ overcame, and one of the last things that he overcame was death when he resurrected on the third day according to the scriptures. He was crucified, he died, was buried, and resurrected according to the scriptures. Glory, that's in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. That is the gospel, my brothers and sisters. We don't preach nothing else but the gospel of Jesus Christ, the cross of him crucified. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The crucifixion of the cross is to them that believe salvation, and to those that don't believe, condemnation. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. As you know, every Thursday, we're here studying the Bible study, and we're talking about a specific topic. What's next? What do we expect next? What does the church expect next? Well, right now, my brothers and sisters, the way that things are coming together, as Jesus has spoken of, we believe that the rapture, the taking up of the church, is the next big event that's happening in the world. Remember, there was a time when the Jewish people came to Jesus, the rabbis, they came to Jesus, and he told them, he responded back, he says, you know, you look at this guys and it's rain, and you discern the times to say it's going to rain. You know, they could discern the times of the season, but they cannot discern the seasons. They didn't understand what he was talking about. Boy, oh boy, but the way things is happening in this world these days, you know, the rapture is on the horizon. And the second coming of Christ, as we know, is divided into two phases. Phase number one is the rapture, the gathering of the saints, and phase number two is the return. We're dealing with the rapture of the church. Once we finish dealing with the rapture, then we're going to be dealing with the return of Christ. So two phases in his second coming. You know, there is a belief out there, they call it the pre-millennium or pre-tribulation rapture. That I believe in that, and a lot of my brothers and sisters also. There are some people out there that believe in the mid-tribulation rapture, and there's some people out there that believe in the post-tribulation rapture. Well, my brothers and sisters, we know according to the scriptures, and everything is pointing to the pre-tribulation rapture. And I share some scriptures with you, and you could double check them and ask God, the Holy Spirit, to reveal that today. Remember, we have the Logos Word, the print black and white on paper, which is a carbon copy of the original one in heaven. But we also ask the Holy Spirit to give us the Rhema Word, which is the revelations of the Word itself. It's like taking a shower. You have to unclothe. You have to take layers off and layers off in order to get into the shower. You don't get into the shower with all your clothes on or your underclothes on. You take layers off, and that's the way it is when you study the Bible. There is layers upon layers upon layers of the Bible. Every time you read a scripture one day, the next day you'll receive a different revelation of it, but it's the same scripture, and the Holy Spirit will never contradict the word, and he would never take it out of context. Glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. So Jesus is coming to rapture his church, his bride. You know, I would recommend that you look that movie. It's called The Day Before the Wrath. It's a beautiful illustration of the Galilean wedding, which is, remember, Jesus Christ and the disciples all were Galileans. So when Jesus spoke of a wedding, his disciples knew what he was talking about. And so he paralleled the rapture to a Galilean wedding. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we know that his second coming is divided into two phases. Phases number one is the rapture, and phase number two is the return. Now, you might say, but Pastor Ramos, that word rapture is not found in the Bible. And I would agree with you, it's not found in the English version of the Bible. but it's found in the Latin Vulgate. When St. Jerome translated the Latin Vulgate, and he used the word rapilmo for rapture. And when they translated to the English, from the Greek to the English, when they came upon that word, harpazo was the Greek word that was used first, they translated it rapture or gathering up or the great assembly. It's the same thing, rapture. So you have the rapture, rapismo, harpazo is being taken out by force. Glory be to the Lord. And Christ is coming for his bride because, you know, think about it. How many men, when they get married on the first night, do they think about going to a honeymoon or do they think about punishing that bride? You know? So why we would expect something different than Jesus Christ, of Jesus Christ? Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. He is going to take us out of this world according to the scriptures. There is one additional scripture that I want you to copy with the ones that are there, and that's Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10. Glory be to the Lord. And we'll read that and we'll add it to our lesson so we see what it's saying. Glory be to the Lord. So we are dealing with the rapture. This is a 1A4. Next week is going to be 1A5. The rapture will cause the Antichrist to be revealed. He cannot be revealed until the saints be taken out of the earth. That's an interesting passage that we're going to read next week. And the week after that will be the last one, 1A6. The rapture will cause the great tribulation to begin. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let me give you a little itinerary from the church, a little disclaimer before we go on with our class. And the itinerary is that every Sunday at 7 p.m., we have on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, you can call us at 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to be connected to the studio. We would encourage you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here on Blog Talk Radio. And we thank the Lord for this open door. Thank you, Jesus. So on Sunday at 7 p.m., we have what we call the Bible mystery. Different things that we're discovering from the Bible, the mysterious things. You know, the Word of God tells us the hidden things belong to God, but the revealed things belong to the kings. And in the New Testament, it says that these things were revealed to us by the Spirit. So as we study, like Paul told Timothy, study yourself, approve unto God, a workman, needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. As we continue to study the word of God and put it into practice, put it into our life, meditate upon it, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us the deeper truths so we could apply it to our lives, so we could live holy and righteous, and we could move away from sin, because we know that sin separates us from God. Are we perfect? Only in Christ Jesus we are perfect. Now, that word perfect is mature. Translated from the Greek to the English is mature. We are mature in Christ Jesus. There are men and women who, no matter what physical age they are, when they come to the Lord Jesus Christ, in the beginning, they're considered as babes in Christ. You teach them, you feed them milk. Because if you give a baby a steak without teeth, you know they're going to choke. So we have to be very careful who's in the classes. Glory be to the Lord. And that's why, you know, when you hear me on this radio and teaching, I try to use words and I try to teach where even a baby would understand. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you have any questions, comments, or testimonies, you could call the studio on Blog Talk Radio, 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to be connected to the studio. I will see your phone number and a raised hand, and that would let me know that you want to speak. And I would bring you on, and we will deal with the common question or testimony that you might have. If we have to stop the program, we will. We'll deal with the situation at hand. We could always do another the same program or the ending of the program next week and just continue on. So every Sunday we're dealing with Bible mysteries, and we're dealing with the different mysteries in the Bible. But the Lord has given to us to be studying the names or titles of gods. Glory be to the Lord. Last week, like Sunday, we spoke on Jehovah Shammah. What does it mean? This week is going to be a little bit different. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let me just get it for you. And this week we're going to speak about Jehovah Sisinu. Jehovah Titsinu. What does it mean? And in the Bible mystery, if you get it right, if you get the correct answer, and this is your first time calling, you would receive from the church a free, colorful, accordion-style type pamphlet of the tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle is also called the Tent of Meetings. It is also called the tent, the tabernacle of the congregation. We know that our God, our Savior, spoke to Moses and the people from the mercy seat. And this was a temporary instrument. When the cloud by day, which led the Jewish people, moved, they would tear down, they would bring down, they would take it apart, and they'll follow the cloud by day. When the cloud stopped, they will rebuild the tent of meetings, and they will continue their services. Remember, God also had a pillar of fire at nighttime to illuminate them, but also to hold back the enemy that was coming. Because remember, Pharaoh was chasing them, and the Amalekites as well that was coming down from the mountains. So we have to understand that you'll get that pamphlet. It has a beautiful different descriptions in there, and I'm going to share with you some of the things that are that they have in this colorful pamphlet. And it has the talks about the furnishings, it talks about the patterns of worship, it talks about the Ark of the Covenant, it talks about the symbolisms that point to Jesus. It talks about the sacrifices in the tabernacle. It talks about the garments of the high priest. Glory be to the Lord. So that's for the first time callers. If you are, if that's calling and it's more than your first time, you will receive a beautiful breakdown of our Lord's Prayer. We call it the Our Father Prayer, the Lord's Prayer. But in reality, Jesus prayed. You have to read the Gospel of John, chapter 17, that you see Jesus speaking to the Father there, and that's Jesus' prayer. This Our Father prayer from Matthew chapter 6, 9 through 13 is something that Jesus taught the disciples. Remember, one of the disciples came to Jesus and explained to him that John used to teach them, John the Baptist, used to teach them how to pray. And they asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. And Jesus says, when you pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So this, Our Father prayer, we're breaking it down to 12 rooms in the house. Because God said in Isaiah 56:7, for my house will be called the house of prayer for all nations. And so we've broken it down into 12 rooms. Also, they have colorful color in to demonstrate the colors of the Messiah. and each room has part of the Our Father in there and a title of that room, so you understand. I'll give you an example. Like, for instance, the first room that we find in the Our Father prayer is the family room. Our Father, Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father. We are identifying with our Father in heaven. Remember, he translated us from the kingdom of darkness to his kingdom of his Son, the eternal kingdom. And we became joint heirs with Christ. We became brothers and sisters in the Lord. And God the Father sealed us with the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. So the first room, as I give you as an example, is the family room. Our Father which art in heaven. We are identifying with our Father. That's why when Nicodemus came to Jesus and they were talking, Jesus said to him, you must be born again. And Nicodemus did not understand what he said, because according to the Jewish custom, when a young Jewish boy gets a bar mitzvah, he is born again. That's what they believe. When that same Jewish boy now is of age to get married, he's born again. When that same Jewish boy now gives his life over to serve as the military, he's born again. When that Jewish boy now becomes a rabbi, he's born again. When the Jewish rabbi is a teacher, but he's also the leader of the congregation there, of the synagogue, of that school, he is said to be born again. So that's why Nicodemus said to Jesus, could I go back into my mother's womb? It's impossible. She was gone. And how can he enter back into the womb when he's of old? He didn't understand what Jesus was saying. What we have to understand, my brothers and sisters, that what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus was that we were born once in our flesh. But the problem with the flesh is that ever since Adam and Eve disobeyed God and they sinned, that sin nature and death passed upon all of us. So we needed to be identified with our Father in heaven. And if you remember the disclosure between Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well, Jesus said to her, our God, our Father, he's a spirit. And the time is coming when the true worshipers will worship him in spirit and in truth. And now is the time. So we are the spiritual worshipers. We truly worship God in spirit and in truth. We don't depend on the flesh and in the world for anything. We depend on the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us. And so when we repent of our sins, turn from our wickedness, accept Christ into our heart, we are born again, because now our spirit attains to the things of heaven, where before the things of heaven did not please us. We didn't want to go to church. We didn't want to pray. We didn't want to study the Bible. We might have been religious to certain things like that, but we didn't have a personal relationship with our Father. So being born again, now we have a personal relationship with our Father. And you know, the Holy Spirit writes down, today is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart. In the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. So today is the day of salvation for those of you who are not saved, who don't know the Father, who don't have a personal relationship. You could pray. You don't need anyone to pray for you. You could pray sincerely from your heart. Ask God to forgive you of all your sins. Repent of those sins. That means turn away from them. Don't do them again. And ask the Lord to come into your heart and save you, to renew you. And ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to a church where you're going to go spiritually and become a worker in the ministry. God will save you. God will implant in you a gift. And that gift, as you practice it, will help the church grow. Glory be to the Lord. So we need to be born again because our forefathers, Adam and Eve, had sin in the flesh. So Jesus said, flesh and blood will not inherit, will not enter into heaven. We need to be glorified. We need to be changed of this temple. And that's only going to take place at the rapture, the change. Hallelujah. So my brothers and sisters, if you have an opportunity and you want to pray for salvation, you could call Block Talk Radio 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to speak with the studio. Glory be to the Lord. I'll see your phone number and your and a raised hand, and that will indicate to me that you want to speak. Hallelujah. If you want to email the church, the email is wtltabernacle@gmail.com. wtltabernacle@gmail.com. We'll get that email and we'll respond back. Or if you want to speak to the pastor directly after the program is over, you could call 772-626-3178. 772-626-3178. We're in LaBelle, Florida, and you could call us anytime after 8 o'clock. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So on Sundays, we're dealing with the Bible mysteries. Last Sunday, we dealt with Jehovah Shammah. This week coming, we're going to be dealing with Jehovah Sisinu. What is it? What does it mean? Where do we find it in the Bible? And why was God called that name? Whether it was a name or a title, why was it? And, you know, it's interesting to understand why God has all these names, all these titles, when there is only one name whereby we must be saved. And that's one we're going to speak about. The last one is the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus the Christ. I know that that a lot of Bibles and a lot of people say Jesus Christ, but his name is Jesus, which means salvation or Savior, and the Christ, meaning the anointed one or the Messiah. In the Jewish language, he is called Yeshua HaMashiach, and they are waiting for, the Jewish people are waiting for two messiahs. One is called Yeshua ben Joseph and Yeshua ben David. They believe one is coming to suffer, one is coming to conquer, not understanding that in Christ Jesus is both. He came once and he suffered, he died, and he was buried, he resurrected. And, you know, they can't get away with it if they read Isaiah 53, because in it, without mentioning his name, they know that they're talking about Jesus Christ. Everybody knows that. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. On Tuesdays at 7 p.m., we are dealing with intercessory prayer. And I would encourage everybody to call the station at that time or just before 7 o'clock. And we would divvy up the time and we would have prayer. One of the things that we continue to pray for, according to Psalms 122:6, is we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you know that last week we studied Jehovah Shammah, and in the new temple that Ezekiel saw and measured, Jerusalem's name is going to change to Jehovah Shammah. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. And on Thursdays, so that's on Tuesdays at 7 p.m., we have intercessory prayer, and we have several subtopics that we pray for. On Thursdays, like today, we have the Bible study, and we are studying, our topic is called What's Next? And we, in the What's Next question is, what's what we expect to happen next? Well, when you study the scriptures, or you ask anybody who have knowledge of the scriptures, the word rapture will come up. So we know that the second coming of Jesus Christ is the next big event that's going to happen. And the second coming of Jesus Christ is broken up into two phases. Phase number one is a rapture, and phase number two is the return. And we're dealing with the rapture first, and then we're going to go into the return before we get into other mysteries in the Bible. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So my brothers and sisters, I would encourage you to always have your Bible with you so you could read everything that I give you, study it, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal these things to you. And if you have any questions, you could call 516-418-5944, press number 1 to be connected to the studio. Or I would recommend, if you go into church, take the question to your pastor and ask him and receive the answer that the Lord will give him. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And we just pray that you are going to church and that you are part of the ministry and helping out in the church no matter what. Glory be to the Lord. If one of the assignments that you receive is to clean the toilets, well, clean them well. Do it as unto the Lord. Don't think that you're doing it unto man. Think that you're doing it unto the Lord. And you know, the Holy Spirit will help you, and he will teach you so much regarding that. I'll give you an example. When I was a baby in Christ, one of my assignments was to sweep up, clean up a little rug that was in front of the pulpit, and it was a 4x6 rug. And I kept sweeping that floor, rug. And every time I did so, dust would come up. And my goodness, that was some lesson when I asked one of the sisters, the evangelist there, about, you know, I'm having so much trouble with this rug because dust keeps coming up. And she explained to me that dust represents, you know, the sin in our life. And the way that we could control that dust, the sin in our life, is by applying water or the word of the Lord, the Holy Spirit. And sure enough, when I sprinkled that rug, there was no more dust coming up because it was gathered into the piles so that I could pick them up and throw them out. So it was a great lesson that I learned, and it was just sweeping a little rug. The Lord taught me so much that without the word, remember Jesus Christ said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will remain forever. So it's the word of God. We have to rightly divide the word of God. You cannot pick and choose what scriptures applies to your situation. You must preach. You must teach the whole counsel of God. There's things in there that will refresh you. There's things in there that will bring conviction. The Holy Spirit will bring forth conviction. And there's things in there that bring forth salvation. And there's things there to help you to grow spiritually and mature. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So let's get into our lesson today. We're studying the second coming of the Lord is the next big event. And phase number one is the rapture. So let's go into it. Let's read the rapture. Let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 to 18. And we're going to read it for its entirety. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm reading from the Pastor's Bible. And the title of this section is called The Second Coming of Christ, The Rapture. And it says, but I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Now, we're talking about brothers and sisters who have gone to be with the Lord now. We might have been speaking to them yesterday or the day before, a week ago or a month ago, but somehow the Lord called them home. And we understand to be absent from this body, which is fleshly, which is carnal, is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we're going to be with the Lord, awaiting the return, so we could receive our glorified bodies. So that's what Paul began his little teaching here. He says, but I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Now, in the Bible, sometimes you read the word falling asleep. It actually means death. That is a Jewish homonym. And we understand that the wording that they use, hallelujah, a section. It's like Jesus spoke to his disciples on the Gospel of John chapter 14. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. I go to prepare a place for you. If it wasn't so, I would have told you, you know. And if I go, I will return and receive you unto myself. So where I'm at, you may be also. And the disciples said, but where are you going? And he says, he said he'll come and take us back. And Jesus said, you know the way. And one of the disciples asked him, what is the way? Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's a Jewish idiom. And that's what we're speaking here, where it says, those who have fallen asleep. It's a Jewish idiom. It means something else than what is there. Why do we find that the disciples or Jesus spoke in parables or in idioms? It's because, you know, they were oppressed by the Roman government. They were oppressed by the Jewish government. And so they use certain words. You might call it a code. And it has answers to the question. So Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning those who have fallen asleep or die or death left their body. We know from Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7, this body will return back to the dust where it came from, and the spirit will return back to God who gave it. Glory be. But where are you, the soul? Where are you going to be? Are you going to be in heaven in eternity with the Lord, or are you going to hell, to the lake of fire with Satan forever and ever and ever? Remember one thing, that you can't cross over. Once you leave this body, God will give you the desires of your heart. So he would never say, God doesn't want to send no one to hell. He has a long suffering. He waits a long time for us to be saved, to seek him so we could find him. He's not lost, but he tells us in Isaiah, seek me and you will find me. And sure enough, that's what would happen. But God renders to people their desires. So people who reject his forgiveness in Christ Jesus are asking to be apart from Christ. And the only place you could go after you leave your body, if you're not going with Christ, is to hell or to the lake of fire. And that's an eternity. You cannot go back and say, give me another second chance. I want to go to heaven this time. No, your choice must be done now when you have breath in your lungs. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So concerning those who have fallen asleep, so that you do not grieve like others who have no hope. Now here it says, do not grieve. It's not talking about not having a grievous state when they pass, because we all have certain grief. But sometimes people make it a religious ritual. You know, they have pictures of their loved ones up on the wall. They have candles up on the table. And all they could think about is that person who has passed away. And they become very grievous, very religious in their state. That's what Paul is trying to relate to the people there. He knows we grieve. If you remember the story of Noah, the Lord held back the rains, the waters, for 7 days. Read it. It's in Genesis there. And why did he held back the rain for 7 days? Why did he allow Noah to grieve for 7 days? Because his grandfather, Methuselah, had died. And God gave Noah 7 days to grieve and to bury his grandfather and to, you know, pray for the things that he had in his heart. So God would give us a time for us to grieve, but he don't want us to become a religious ritual. Glory be to the Lord. So he don't want you to grieve like others who have no hope. See the difference between us and those that don't know Christ? They have no hope because they will say, you will have a conversation. People will say, well, I don't know whether they go to heaven or hell. I don't know. They have no hope. But if they know that this person was a dedicated servant to the Lord, they will say, we believe he's in heaven because he preached, he taught, he lived the life, and they have hope. But here, people who are making a religious ritual in grieving, they have no hope. Because remember, the first thing they did wrong was reject God's forgiveness in Christ Jesus. So what is there else to replace? Nothing. There is nothing. People used to worship idols in the minds, idols with the hands. And these idols were created by man, statues or pictures or whatever it was. And they know that this picture or this idol was nothing. We have different religions in the world. Like right now, there's about 4,200 different type of religions of the world. However, there's only one empty tomb. See the difference? There's only one empty tomb. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we're going to go on. For we believe, and this is verse 14, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 to 18. This is verse 14. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And he did. He died. He was crucified. He was whipped 39 times by the Roman soldiers. He was crown of thorns was placed on his head. He was nailed to the cross, and his hand, his wrists, and his feet. He received a puncture wound to his side from a spear, because when they came to them at the cross, the two robbers was still alive, so they broke their legs and they suffocated to death. But when they came to Jesus, Jesus had already said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And he passed away. He left his body. Hallelujah. And so they pierced him in the side, and blood and water came out. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And that's what happened, my brothers and sisters. The prophets of old spoke of the resurrection of Jesus. They spoke that God would not allow his body to see corruption. And we read that in Psalms 22 and Psalm 16 and other places. And he was buried after he died. He was buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. No one had entered that place. Joseph laid his body there. And 3 days later, when Mary came to the tomb with the other ladies, they found the stone rolled away, and because Jesus had resurrected. Glory. If you read the Gospels, you're going to read the ending there, how he resurrected and what occurred with the soldiers, what occurred with the Jewish leaders, and you would understand that even to this day, they believe in a lie. But Jesus Christ is alive. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and I. It's there in Joseph wrote about Jesus, and he was not a Jewish. He was not a Christian. He was Jewish. He was a Jewish historian, and he wrote about Jesus, about he was seen by many disciples, and he ate with them, and he instructed them before ascending to heaven. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, just so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. So, you know, people that have gone home before us, they're in the paradise. They're in heaven. They're with the Lord. And when Jesus comes back to receive the rest of the body of Christ, he's going to bring them with him. Hallelujah. Because they're going to receive a glorified body. And we're going to receive a glorified body. Let's read it on. And it says, "For this we tell you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." So that's what happens. They're going to come with Christ, but their bodies are going to resurrect from the grave, and they're going to be changed to a glorified body. This scripture coincides with 1 Corinthians 15 there, where Paul speaks about in a twinkling of an eye, we all should be changed. He said, not all of us will see death. There'll come a time where we'll be caught up in a twinkling of an eye. This body, which is corruptible, must put on incorruption, which is mortal, must put on immortality. And so the rapture is that. The dead in Christ will rise first. They're going to be changed, and they're going to start ascending to where? To the clouds. Christ comes this in the rapture in the clouds. He doesn't come to the earth yet. That's going to be the second phase of his coming, the return. But he's going to be in the clouds. And then it says in verse 17, let me go back because I want to emphasize, I want you to understand what happens. That we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord would not proceed. So, you know, there might be people who are alive now who might not see death because remember, the rapture could take place at any second. It's the imminent return of Jesus Christ. There's no signs or wonders where you could look for and say, he's coming today, he's coming tomorrow. There's not like that. In the return, yes, there is signs and wonders that they coincide together, and that's what happened. The convergence of the different things that are happening, that's when Jesus comes to the earth. But at the rapture here, when he's calling up his people, he's going to be in the clouds in the second heavens, and he's going to call up his people. He says that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord would not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. You see, they're going to rise, they're going to rise out of the graves, but they're going to begin to ascend towards the clouds where Christ is at. Then Paul ends it by saying, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up. That word caught up is in the Greek harpazo. And when they translated it to the Latin Vulgate, they translated rapimo, which is rapture. That's what we get the word rapture from. Caught up, harpazo. It says, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds. You see here, we're going to the clouds. We're going to meet Christ in the clouds. In his second coming, in his return, when you read Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4, it says that he comes to Mount Olivet. So, you know, that's why we believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. The rapture of the church. A lot of people don't believe it, and they're going to be left behind. Remember, everything that we believe, everything that we accept, it's by faith. So we're going to be caught up, harpazo, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. It doesn't say to meet the Lord in Mount Olivet. See, that's the difference. And that's why there's the second coming is in two phases. Phase number one is the rapture. Phase number two is the return. Phase number one is the rapture, where he comes for his church, his bride, to present his bride to his Father. And we're going to meet him in the air when he returns back to rescue the remnant, to rescue Israel, who are going to be hiding in the mountains in Petra. He's going to return back with the army of heaven and with the angels of heaven. Well, the army of heaven is going to be us. We're going to return with him. Just like if you know of the marriage, when the husband returns back from the honeymoon, he comes back with his wife. He doesn't leave her apart. He comes back with his wife. And sure enough, Jesus Christ is going to return back with his wife, with the chosen, with his bride, with the army of heaven to rescue Israel, the remnant of Israel. And he's going to land. He's going to put his feet on Mount Olivet. This is the rapture. We're going to be caught up to the air, to the clouds, and meet the Lord there. It says, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be forever with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And this is where we have to understand, my brothers and sisters, that God himself will not allow his church to go through the great tribulation. Oh, yes, we're going to have trials and tribulations, and we're having them now because of our faith. But, you know, when the day comes in, the day of the rapture, there's not going to be no signal. There's not going to be anything like that. The rapture is going to be secret. We're going to be caught up. God is going to catch us up. We're going to hear the spiritual sound of the trumpet. We're going to hear the spiritual sound of the shout. We're going to hear the sound of the voice of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he's going to descend. He's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the trump of God and the voice of the archangel. Just like the shepherds heard the archangels, the angels, when Jesus was born, we going to hear the archangel say, he is here. Come up. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to hear the archangel's voice, and we're going to go straight. We're going to leave this body, and we're going to go straight to the clouds, not in our power, but in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why the Bible tells us, knowing the terror of God, we persuade man to be reconciled to God. Because my brothers and sisters, if you're left behind, if you meet the rapture, you know, a lot of people say, well, I'll accept Christ during the tribulation time or when I see the rapture take place. It's, you know, right now, for you to be saved, all it takes is your faith in Christ Jesus. He did it all. When he was on the cross, he says, it is finished. But what happens if you are left behind and you read your scriptures carefully? There's going to be people who are going to be saved during the tribulation time. Yes, but when you read Revelations, it tells you that these people were beheaded. Now you don't have to be beheaded. See the difference? So you have to make up your mind. Are you going to be beheaded for the cause of Christ? Let them kill you. Then you're going to be present with the Lord. Glory be to the Lord. You don't have to go through that. You don't have to go through that. How do I know that? Because when I read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9, it says, for God had not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. The tribulation is God's wrath upon the earth. It's his anger. You know, that's the tribulation. And God has not appointed us to go through the tribulation. He appointed us to be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have to make a decision what we want to do. We want to be saved, Christ, or we want to stay behind and be left behind. And then we understand when we read the scriptures, glory be to the Lord. When we read the scriptures and we go to Revelation chapter 4, you know, John received the revelation, and he's a type of the church. And the angel says to him, John writes, he says, after this, I look and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was the word of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. And so is the rapture. Come up hither. And that's what we're going to hear with the voice of the archangel, my brothers and sisters. So do your due diligence to study the word of God. God loves you very much. He don't want you to be left behind. He wants to save you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to be back on Sunday at 7 p.m. for another version of God's Mysteries. This time we're going to be looking at Jehovah Sisinu. God bless you. And unto them, may the Lord richly bless you.